Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of, well, it's now Atlas. It's not Infinity Pods anymore, and it's Atlas and Infinity Podcast. I am really unsure about my names at the moment. I don't know what to call this thing, just because it's covering a lot of things at the moment. So I thought Atlas is everything, you know, it's the world, and that's why that name's on there, but it may change again in the future. I'm very unsure what to call this thing. However, name aside, we are finally in the month of October, so Christmas is very quickly approaching us. So we're well into October now. We're 2 weeks into October now. I was going to do a podcast episode each week of October, just leading up to a special at the end of the month. But as is with everything, things happen. So thank you for sticking with me on this. Well, the 10 people who listen. but yeah, so today I'm gonna start us off, which is, it might be horrifying to you, but not, but on the flip side, it's also horrifying to me as to why people like these things. So I'm gonna go over today my top 10 unpopular opinions on everything. When I say everything, I do mean everything in like my pop culture, basically. So without further ado, I'm going to get straight into it. We're not going to have a elongated intro to anything. So number 10, if you've listened to my previous episode, I don't like the casting of the recent Spider-Man. So Tom Holland, I just don't like the way they did it, they've done the character, basically, as this kid, basically. Don't get me wrong, I like the films. They're enjoyable, you know, semi-decent popcorn films, you know, nothing to write home about. Yes, I am excited for Spider-Man No Way Home, but I think I'm more excited just because of the premise of what's going to go, well, hopefully is going to happen in that. But I don't want to spend too much on this one because I've just done a full episode on why I don't like the new Spider-Man and what I think is the best Spider-Man so far. So yeah, the recent Spider-Man, my first unpopular opinion is, I don't like Tom Holland as Spider-Man, as everyone else seems to like him. Again, he's not bad. Like, really bad. He's just, he's not what I envision for that character. So, moving on. We'll get into the nitty-gritty here. So, just to disclose, unpopular opinions. These are my unpopular opinions. So, this will not reflect. I'm not saying these are the gospel. This list is not going to be found in the Bible if you pick it up anytime soon. It's my opinion. We're all entitled to our opinions. You may completely agree with me, but on the flip side, you might think I'm talking a load of rubbish. But that's fine. That means you're human. Congratulations on being human and having an opinion. I'll applaud you on that. So let's get into nitty gritty. So number 9, the prequel trilogy is amazing. So that's my unpopular. The prequel trilogy is amazing. Now, if you know your soul, the prequel trilogy is obviously the Star Wars movies. So Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and Revenge of the Sith. With Revenge of the Sith coming very close to my favourite Star Wars film, Rogue One just nudges it out on that. But yeah, I've seen a lot of people recently, especially the past few years, and especially after the recent trilogy, absolutely, you know, they've gone back to the prequels and to actually, they're not too bad. I always had this opinion. Now, I think with Star Wars, it's all to do with what era you grew up, which trilogy era you grew up and where you were as a kid, you know. Obviously, that's a very broad blanket to throw over everybody, but from my experience, your favourite trilogy determines what you grew up with, so my Star Wars history, I basically started watching, I didn't know what Star Wars was when I was like 5 or 6. And I rummaged through my mum and dad's VHS collection. I found Return of the Jedi. Just because it said Star Wars on it. We had The Empire Strikes Back, but I didn't understand that that was The Empire Strikes Back. And it was the fifth one. Second one, whichever one. I can't remember. Whatever. Yeah. So I saw Return of the Jedi first. That was my first introduction to Star Wars. And then I saw New Hope. And then The Phantom Menace came out in 1999. So I was 7 years old. So I was, if you want to talk about, you know, demographics. I was prime demographic for the for these films. I grew up in my primary school, my secondary school, with these films coming out, and I absolutely loved them. I loved them back then. I love them now. Out of the three of them, Attack of the Clones is the weakest. I actually enjoy The Phantom Menace, and I don't like this thing that everyone says. Oh yeah, but they're corny, and you know the writing's bad and everything. I honestly, people who say that think they're full of themselves. I mean, have you actually watched the original trilogy? You know, really watch them. The dialogue is awful. It's a Sunday afternoon, you know, popcorn film. It's nothing to write home about. Yes, the effects at the time were amazing. Some of them still hold up to there. They've just got that charm about them. But the original trilogy for me is just, I don't understand it. I really, really don't understand it. And you guys could say the same about me, like in the prequel trilogy. I love the prequel trilogy. The speed of the lightsaber fights are just, they're insane. I mean, Revenge of the Sith is the best. The Obi-Wan and Anakin at the end is just, the duel on that is amazing. And just, yeah, I just think some really good action set pieces in the new, in the prequel ones. Regarding the new trilogy, I mean, I'm not gonna throw more petrol on the fire here. It's, you know, I'm not gonna say what's already been said. It's just they shouldn't have Disney shouldn't have split up the directors. It should have been they didn't understand. They just didn't have a full story there. If they stick with the same director for all of it, I think the last one wouldn't have been as jarring. I mean, The Last Jedi, yeah. Again, I'm not gonna throw anything that's already burning away on the internet and has been for the past few years. But yeah, the prequel trilogy is the best out of the Star Wars films. And if I want to pick the best Star Wars film out of those trilogies, it's Revenge of the Sith. I'm not counting Rogue One because that's its own thing. Part of the story, but it's its own thing. So, sticking with Star Wars. So, number eight, The Empire Strikes Back is overrated. Now, just saying that, I can hear people scream, no, shut up, no, you idiot, what are you on about? But it is. Yeah, I'm sorry, it is. I mean, it's all of a sudden these past, I'd say this past decade, it's past 10 years, all of a sudden, everyone's saying, oh yeah, it's not the Empire. I hate it when we get things like, you know, God, what, Pirates of the Caribbean? I mean, that might not have been the past decade. Dead Man's Chest came out mid-noughties, I think. But people saying then, you know, looking at the reviews then for saying, oh yeah, it's no Empire. I hate that phrase, it's no Empire. You know, it's like, what do you mean by that? What is Empire Strikes Back? You know, it's part of an overall story. You know, in those, you know, let's segregate those three films in one go. Empire is the middle bit. And I'll be honest, I found it the most boring. I did. I didn't enjoy it. It was long-winded. It strikes back. I mean, at what point did it strike back? I mean, yeah, you got Solo frozen, but that was only, let's be honest, it was only because we did at the time they didn't know Harrison Ford was coming back for the character. So it's not like they knew that what they were doing. I mean, I'll give it a saving grace. It's the Hoth battle right at the beginning. I say right at the beginning, it's about what, 15, 20 minutes in around that time. I don't know. I've not seen it. I've seen Empire about five or six times, and just it just annoys me when people say, oh, it's no Empire, it's this, that, and the other. They hold it up as this grand film, and it's just there are better films in the Star Wars canon than Empire. So, number eight. Unpopular opinion, Empire Strikes Back is overrated. Majorly overrated. So, moving on to number seven. I'm gonna dip a toe into the video game medium. So I'm very much a PlayStation guy. Always have been, has been even, ever since the PlayStation 1 came out, and I've had them all. I was still lucky enough to get a PS5 last year. In November when it came out. But the one company that always sticks out for me, and Nintendo, and the unpopular opinion in here is Nintendo are awful. They really are. I'm sorry, they've been dishing out the same shit for the past 20, 30 years. And yeah, the odd good idea comes along. All right, I'll give them that. Yes, everyone want to own a Nintendo Wii at one point. It was the thing, it was the craze. It was something new though. You know, and I think that's why when companies, so you've got something like PlayStation, they're the only console on the market at the moment that has a VR. So Xbox doesn't have, like, you don't have, like, what I mean by that is, yes, you've got the Oculus Rift and everything, but Xbox don't have an Xbox VR. Nintendo don't have a Nintendo VR. Only PlayStation have that. And yeah, I'll give them their dues. PlayStation, you know, they aren't very good at supporting what they've come out. I mean, look at the Vita. The PS Vita was a fantastic handheld console. They let that rot. They really did. But Nintendo, like, and that's why I'd say PlayStation and Xbox get away with it a little bit, because they bring things out every now and then. They try different things. Nintendo, on the other hand, I mean, look at the Switch, right? The Switch, it's a great idea. Don't get me wrong, it's a fantastic idea. But I remember being on the playground when I was in primary school, and there were little kids running around saying, oh yeah, wouldn't it be great if I could, you know, bring my console out. My console was on my screen with my Game Boy Advance and everything. I was like, yeah, it's good. It's just, you know, I think it's a very subsidized market what they're aiming for, because you know that's really aimed at kids. And you could argue Nintendo is aimed at kids all the time. But regarding of innovation, I mean, and just sheer arrogance, I think, I don't like them. I mean, how many times does Peach need saving? How many times does Zelda need a, you know, oh, you start here, you get all these weapons, and then you got to fight the big bad? Like, yeah, a lot of games do that, but like, it's the same person. Like, Zelda goes up against the same person all the time. By Zelda, I mean Link. I know they're two different things. I know they're different. Don't start with me. Yes, when I was little, I did used to think Zelda was the main character, but yeah. But yeah, all the Zelda games are the same. Link goes against Ganon, an eye on every single game. You know, there's no new big bad in games like that. And yeah, their target audience, it seems to be kids. Yeah, which is great, you know, good for them. But I want a bit more, you know, they're lagging behind. I mean, you've got massive games that people want to play on the go. I mean, I've recently bought Far Cry 6 for my PS5. Now, I'm not saying I'd like to see that those graphics and that frame rate on a handheld when I'm walking around or on the bus or on a train or on a plane. But I'd still like the option to, if that was that, I'd do it. You know, if PlayStation brought a console out like that, I'd get it. But Nintendo seem to have a thing of, oh, they've only got their mascots, their stuff, that's it. You don't see, like, Far Cry 6 isn't available on Switch. You know, there's things like that. They've been, FIFA is a good example. Now, FIFA, I love it. I could do a whole podcast on FIFA. And by podcast, I mean I could build one around it. It's that, God, yeah. But FIFA, they bring out these legacy editions every year for the Switch. And I think the latest one, it's the same game from 3 years ago. They've just repackaged it and slapped 22 on the box, and then they've sold it. So there's no innovation there. There's no, like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, we want this bit of the market. I mean, yeah, I know Ultimate Team's bad. It is basically gambling. I don't care what way EA put it, but it is gambling. But, I mean, I want to be cynical about it. They're missing a trick, you know. Get that on a console like that where people can walk around, you know, sit in a coffee shop and you know, play Wii Mates and say, oh, yeah, look at my Ultimate Team, you know, this, that, and the other. I do think they're missing the trick there. But I just don't like Nintendo. So, no one's ever going to change my opinion on that. I don't think Nintendo themselves can change it. So, number 7, Nintendo are awful. End of. Boom. Done. So far, I've slated Nintendo, I've slated Empire, I've slated Tom Holland. I mean, Yeah, I'm getting on to making some great friends here on this podcast. So number six, we're gonna delve into the next two or three are gonna be horror related. I mean, we are in the month of October. I thought I'd sprinkle some horror in there for you. So first one, number six, overrated horror films. So the two I wanted to pick out, just because I watched Nostalgia Critic did an episode on it this, I think it was this week he did it for one of his Halloween Nostalgia-ween episodes, is The Ring. And then a constant bombardment of top 10 films made in the past 20 years, which I've only ever seen it once and I hated it and I refuse to see it again. But the internet seems to rave about it and I don't understand why, and that's The Babadook. So these two films, I think out of the two, I hate The Ring more because it brings the trope in. Or it makes, yes, it obviously you should know, but it's based on a Japanese film called Ringu, which is that is genuinely scary. The Grudge, the 2004 Grudge, is based on the Japanese one. It's not called The Grudge, though. I think it's called Grujon or some along those lines. But that's terrifying. But The Ring, starring Naomi Watts, is just, it brings the trope in of the scary child. And at the time we've had, around that time we had like The Sixth Sense there. You've obviously got inspiration from The Shining, with Danny with The Shine. But kids in horror films piss me off. They really do. And by kids, I mean like kids, like I'd say younger than 10. I know that's quite specific, but they're just, I mean, yeah, I know I think there's a thing in Hollywood that you don't kill kids on screen or whatever it is, which obviously I don't want to see, obviously. I'm not saying I want to see it, but they're always safe. There's no, for me, there's no like worry. Like when the kid in that film watches the videotape, there is no way that little girl is going to come out the screen and scare him to death, and you're going to say it's not going. It's just not going to happen. It's just it to me. It's false scares, and that image of a girl with a blackout covering her face. It's very horror Japanese. I give him that, but it's boring. It was boring then. It's boring now. Yeah, obviously, horror, being scared is subjective. Just like, what makes you laugh or what type of music you like, what scares you is subjective. But I'm bemused by the amount of people who actually find The Ring scary. There is only one shot in The Ring that's scary. And that's actually on the videotape, and it's the first bit of videotape where you actually see the ring and there's that humming noise over it. And it's like 2 seconds long in an hour and a half film. That's what's scary. Everything else is just it's laughable. Speaking of laughable, The Babadook, what are we all on? I mean, what are you guys on? Thinking The Babadook is a decent, good horror film. It really, really is. It's also, I mean, sticking with kids, it's got one of the most annoying kids in a film ever. This little lad in this film just screams his head off, shouts at his mum for about 2 hours, and I just that I think that's what put me off as well. It's like there was too much of that. I mean, I think it was filmed. Was it filmed in Australia? I think it was filmed in Australia, or it was an Australian director. There was Australia's attached to it. But you have a film like that over here. Let's stick it in Yorkshire. That's where I'm from. Stick it in Yorkshire in England. That little lad speaks to his mum like that. He's getting a slap. He's going to bed without his tea. There's no Yorkshire puddings for that little lad on his Sunday roast. There really isn't. I know it's to do with how the term of loss and everything like that, but it's not scary. It just isn't. I think I saw one bit in the trailer. I think it was where the mother is looking across, and she's cleaning the pots. And the only thing that I liked in the trailer was when she was cleaning the pot, she was looking through a window and she can see a neighbour just sat there, an old woman just sat there, and there's something behind her. And I like that. That was creepy. That minimalistic horror is the scariest. Okay. I'll get into that, especially when I do my Halloween special. But little is more with horror, especially for me. And speaking of that, if we're going a little is more, I'm not going to touch on this. I'm going to touch on this a little bit, but I'm going to go into this further deal because it is part of my Halloween special I'm going to be doing in 2 weeks' time. But now moving on to number five, stay with horror. The Exorcist 3 is better than the original. I'm just going to leave it at that because I don't want to say any more because there's been a few of my episodes where I've been building up to the Exorcist 3 and I said I'll do a special on it. So that's what's coming. So I'm just going to leave that one there. The Exorcist 3 is better than the original. By the original, I mean the original Exorcist back in the 1970s. Both scary films, but the Exorcist 3 trumps it in. It is one of the best, if not the best. So moving on swiftly from number five to number four. So number four, I don't get the hype surrounding the Blair Witch Project. Now, again, this comes up more often than not, same as the Babadook, on many top horror films, not just of the past decade or past 20 years, but of all time. Now, Blair Witch was released, I believe it was turn of the century when it was released. So there'd have been a target audience there, and there would also have been people I've never seen anything like this before, and I'll give them their dues. The marketing for this film was absolutely brilliant. And I also think why Paranormal Activity worked so well a few years later, because they took what made the Blair Witch scary, the marketing of the Blair Witch scary, and used it. Okay. And that was word of mouth. Okay. There is nothing stronger for a film for marketing. If a film has done its job properly, a marketing job properly, you will get people. I mean, nowadays it's a lot easier, but back then, you'll get people meeting up with a friend and say, "Oh my God, have you heard of this? Have you seen this? You have to see it. I can't tell you anything. You have to see it." There are very few films nowadays that do it, if not any. I think the ones that are taking that credit at the moment, but everybody sees them. Your big Avengers films, or your big tentpole films, where you're like, "Oh my God, you've got to see it." I mean, the latest one obviously is Bond. We're at the moment when I'm recording this, Bond's been out for 2 weeks and it's Daniel Craig's last Bond. So everyone's got a buzz about, "Oh yeah, you've got to go see it. What about that ending?" Everyone's talking about it. But back then it was the Blair Witch. Now the Blair Witch, it was one of the first films of its type. I'm not saying it's going to be it was the first film that made it popular. Okay, and that's the found footage. Now, found footage for me doesn't do it. Paranormal Activity did do it for me, but most of that was the scares came, the big scares came when that camera was still and it was just staring down a hallway. And that's what was scary because, again, little is more. Okay. And the Blair Witch definitely runs with that. Obviously, you've got the famous shot of the lass putting the camera up to her face and you can see all the snot and everything coming down her. But the ending, I mean, I am going to spoil the ending. Because, well, I mean, the film's the best part of 20 years old. If you haven't seen it by now, I mean, what's wrong with you? But if you like horror films, go watch it. But The Blair Witch is basically an hour and a half of people running around the woods saying they've seen something when they haven't. They get to a house in the middle of the woods, and there's a bloke, one of the group is just standing in the corner, staring at a wall. And that's it. I'll leave a bit of ambiguity there because you have to know the legend of the Blair Witch to know why he's staring at a wall, but that's it. And again, I don't get the hype. I don't why it's again. I think it's a very much like a lot of things. All right, it's definitely much a product of his time. So if you watch that now, it's not scary. Now back then, something like that comes around, brand new. No one's ever seen anything like it before. It is scary, but that's why it's number four on my list. It's just I don't get the hype around it at all. I don't understand it. So moving on from number four, number three. So last one for horror. Oh, looking at horror. My unpopular opinion on horror is modern day horror is dead. Now, what I mean by that is you've got films recently. So the Annabelle films. You've got films like The Gallows or yeah, there's so many that they're not scary, and horror films are one of the cheapest films to make. People can do them on a budget. It's one of the reasons why the slasher genre in the late 70s, 80s crashed at the end of the 80s, because there were so many slasher films because people realised they can do them on the cheap and they'll make a load of money from them. Because that was the thing then, you know. That's the big ones still stand the test of time. You still got your Halloweens, your Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Streets. And then we had a resurgence of the genre in the early noughties with Scream and Hostel, Saw, films like that. Definitely, you know, more of the thinking man's slasher film. But modern day horror is it, and I mean that by not the gore or anything, because I've seen the latest Halloween's fantastic, you know, and Halloween Kills is out this weekend and I can't wait to see it. Really looking forward to it. But I'm talking about horror as in, you know, actually scary. To me, horror means you're going to be scared. Now, I recently, a few months ago, went to go see The Conjuring 3, and I saw that by myself. My fiance doesn't like horror films, and I love them, so, you know, nobody's perfect. I love teasing her about it, but I've got to see all my horror films by myself. Now, I don't mind that. I'm a big boy. I can take care of myself. Thank you very much. And I like it. It adds to the tension. It means I don't have to worry about somebody else, you know, what they're thinking, or, you know, they're going to be scared. I can just think, oh my God, I can really, you know, sit down and watch it. I watched it in this big cinema. I think it was the biggest screener Cineworld had up where I live. I think it was me and two other couples in there. But those two other couples, they were OAPs, I think. I mean, bless them. I didn't want to give them, hope it didn't give them an heart attack, for God's sake. But that was scary. Seeing it in a cinema like that, I was scared, genuinely scared of it, especially when it came in the end. But the second I walked out the cinema, I wasn't scared anymore. I thought that's, you know, hasn't left anything, hasn't left a lasting impact on me when I've left the cinema. That's what I like films to do. When I walk out the cinema, I like it to stick with me for a few days. You know, that's a sign of a good film, really. But the worst culprit for this are the jump scares. Now, jump scares in modern horror, I mean, you've got this dumb noise, really loud, dumb noise. And it's that bloody loud, it blows your head off when something happens. So you're not actually scared. What makes you jump isn't actually what's on screen or what jumps out. Put that in inverted commas. It's the noise. It's the noise that makes you jump, because everything's quiet and all of a sudden you've got this massive loud noise. That it's cheap. It's cheap scares. It really is cheap scares. And I hate films for doing it. The best ones recently that I've used atmosphere and subtleness, which is what, but audiences don't seem to like to want to earn their scares anymore. They just want to be, just want to go, be like, oh yeah, that was, oh yeah, that, they say that made me jump. That's very different from saying that made me scared or that terrified me. It made me jump. That was it. And one of the best ones that recently done it of Ari Aster, who's, I mean, he's becoming one of my favourite horror film directors. But he did two films. I always have to watch them one after the other. Not in the same day, but like I do the same with the Scorsese films. But if I watch one in the space of 2 or 3 weeks, I've got to watch the rest of them. That's Midsommar and Hereditary. And I want to stick with Hereditary just because that is genuinely creepy. That, When I left the cinema after watching that, it stuck with me for a good week. And it was just the idea of someone being outside, because you do actually see it a lot. But I had to watch the film a few times when you actually see all the little bits and pieces that come together. What makes it creepy. So there's a little bit of, you know, grounded in, let's put that in very heavy, inverted commas, reality. With, you know, religion and everything and what people believe in. But that is one of the best scary films of the past decade, easily. Past 20 years, I'd say. It's so, so good. And it's not afraid to do something I mentioned earlier. You know, I was saying about kids and everything. It's not afraid to go there. And which, that's terrifying. You know, we've got this, there's an evil in the film that doesn't hold back. You know, and that's genuinely terrifying. So that's why I think modern day horror is. I think we're accustomed to cheap scares, basically. And everyone else seemed to talk about, oh yeah, yeah, the, you know, the Annabelle films were brilliant. And like, well, I mean, what are you playing at? Yeah, they were all right. I wouldn't say they were classics. They're never going to be classics. So yeah. So moving on to the top two. So I'm gonna. I mean, this list isn't in no particular order. So when I say number one, it's not like my number one. Oh yeah, this is, you know, this is my controversial opinion. It's just it. I just listed them. So number two, Zack Snyder's DC Universe, well, especially the trilogy that he's made at the moment. I'll keep that at the moment because I'm still hoping, is amazing. Okay, now when Man of Steel first came out, I had a big thing about Superman before that. I absolutely loved Man of Steel, and I loved it back then. I know it's getting a bit of a rethink now by people and critics and think, oh, actually, Man of Steel was actually pretty good. But back then, it was very divisive, and I think more people hated it than liked it. And again, it was all about snapping Zod's neck at the end of it. Now, for me, that was the turning point. That's what made Superman into this Superman we've got now. Is that was him learning for me. You know, it had to happen. He had, you know, and you've got to think about it. That's the last of his race, and he had to kill him. Just had to, you know, he didn't do anything. He had to kill. And I think people got a bit confused by that as well, because Superman does kill his villains. You know, you could say they're getting mixed up with Batman. Batman originally, I'll say originally, because obviously he changes. But Batman is, the whole concept of Batman is he'll beat the living shit out of you. You know, he'll make sure you're eating through a straw for the rest of your life. But he won't kill you. You know, he has a code of conduct. I think that's where people get mixed up. And it's Batman. It's only Batman that doesn't kill people. Any other superheroes, yes, they try and save them. But, like, you don't see Spider-Man going out with a knife, do you? And going, oh, yeah, I'm going to kill the Green Goblin tonight and stab him, do you? You don't see that. You know, it doesn't work like that. They always die in some elaborate, you know, ironic way of their own making, you know. So, yeah, I don't want to spend too long, but the trilogy is amazing. I mean, the latest, his cut of Justice League is phenomenal. It really, really is. I mean, I'd go as far as saying it's, for me, it's up there with Infinity War and Endgame. Oh, that's how much I like it. It's so good. And then going back, Batman v Superman. Yeah, it's the weakest out of the three. But instead of people focusing on, you know, yes, it bit off more than it can chew, and it was, you know, it was convoluted, it was messy. And I think Batman and Superman actually only fought for about, I think I saw something, it's only like 8 minutes in a 2.5 hour, 3 hour film. Which, that is nuts. And there's so many different plot and storylines. But just be glad you've got them. You know, when is the next time we're going to see Doomsday on the big screen? When is the next time we're going to see the Trinity? You know, the first shot of the Trinity all together at the first time, towards the end when they're fighting Doomsday, was, I mean, come on, you know, as a film buff in general, you don't have to be a comic book fan to know that was so good, and that was goosebumps. And it's also provided us with, if the best, if not the best so far, Batman. And I think Ben Affleck knocked it out of the park, and I really hope he sticks around for a few more films. I love Ben Affleck's Batman. I mean, talk about broody and just, I mean, built like a brick shit house. My God, that fight scene in the warehouse is just phenomenal. That's the best we've seen Batman fight, and that's the best Batman we've seen so far. Now, at the moment of this recording, we do have a teaser, a very brief teaser of Robert Pattinson in the next trailer for Matt Reeves' Batman. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it, don't get me wrong. But at the moment, Zack Snyder's trilogy is amazing. And a lot of people, again, it might be people that, you know, we'll swing around to it. The general consensus is, yeah, Justice League's great, but it's more the Man of Steel side of that trilogy that people don't like. But I love. I think it's great. So, last but not least, number one. Now, I briefly mentioned about Scorsese films earlier. So, I've got to watch, what are we on? I think it's four of them now, especially with The Irishman being out. It's been out for over a year now. If I watch one, I've got to watch the rest of them. So I've got to watch Casino, Goodfellas, Gangs of New York, and The Irishman all within the space of, I'd say, a month or two. I don't know why. It's just I always like thinking they're connected somehow. They're definitely not. And I think Gangs of New York is my favorite out of all four of them. But there's always a general, thing of, what's the best mob movie? What's the best mafia film? People always say The Godfather, and I think The Godfather's boring. It's not my unpopular opinion for number one, but when you move over from Goodfellas to Godfather or vice versa, people always say, "Oh yeah, Scorsese's best mob movie is Goodfellas." And I disagree. I think Casino is Scorsese's best mob movie. And the reason that being, I just like the epicness of Casino, the glitz and glamour of it. It just felt. Put it this way, Goodfellas was based on a true story. I mean, Casino was actually based on a true story, but Casino felt more real to me. Casino felt more grounded in reality than what Goodfellas did. Now, I know there's certain things in Goodfellas, like the La Tonza heist, which actually happened. And at the time was the biggest robbery in American history. There's bits like that, yeah, I know is real, but there's other bits that I don't like, and I know it was all to do with the drug bits, but I didn't like the drug bits in Goodfellas, and that's basically the last half hour, 45 minutes of the film. While Casino, it was all for, to me, it's that's De Niro at his best. That really is De Niro at his best. He's just full on De Niro, and Joe Pesci as well. Yeah, he's a nutter in Goodfellas, but I think he's given a lot more to do in Casino. They do complement each other. I'll give you that. They do complement each other. I mean, there's a the one I always like it. So if you watch Goodfellas first, Goodfellas, Tommy kills his old friend in his in Henry's bar, and the actor that plays him, I forget his name. The actor that plays him is actually his like second in command in Casino. And what's funny at the end of Casino is he actually ends up killing Joe Pesci. So it was a bit of a, bit of a karma related thing that I always like that. A character coming back and killing. Yeah, the same thing actually happens in Django Unchained, which is I think it's my favourite Tarantino film. There's a bloke at the beginning, which Christoph Waltz shoots in the head, and 2.5 hours later, that same ca well same actor playing a different character called Butch, he's the one that kills him. He's the one that kills Dr. King Schultz at the end, and I just like that. I like that whole, the universe is out to get you. It's all connected and all of it. I just like it. But yeah, Casino is better than Goodfellas. It always comes up in again different lists and everything. But I do think Casino is better than Goodfellas. I just like the story better. I like the cinematography better. I like the acting better. I like the story better. Every time I watch it, I always think, God, I'd love to run a casino like that. We've all been there. We've all wanted to, be someone who we're never gonna be. But yeah, I just loved it. I really do. I still do now. So that was my top 10 unpopular opinions on, well, everything. So I've probably made some lovely friends after all that. But my next podcast, we're actually gonna stick with I'll focus on one film. And I haven't spoken about it yet, but I did recently watch it again, and I do find the history of it fascinating. So I look to see you again there. All right, guys, cheers. Thanks for joining me. Bye.